Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Ifis third quarter 2017 and 9 months financial results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giovanni Bossi, Chief Executive Officer of Banca Ifis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. Well, the Board of Directors of Banca Ifis this morning approved the third quarter results and, of course, the 9 months. The results are good. The net profit for the third quarter has been 45 million euro, and for the 9 months, 149 million euro, up 125%. Respect of 2016. So, a very important quarter with some drivers that determine a good global final result. Some drivers stronger than expected, other drivers different than expected. We will see the details in some minutes. In the last few weeks, we have had a lot of activities that changed the profile of our bank. We have had the brand new rating, the BB+ from Fitch. We have had the signing of the Euromillion Term Notes program for a maximum amount of 5 billion euro, and most important, we have had the lower Tier 2 bond issue from 400 million with an initial yield at 4.50%, a result that we consider very good, very important. All this together allow us to say that we see a position, we foresee a position in terms of total own fund ratio for Banca Ifis for the end of the year 2017, individual, that will be above 20%, 2-0, higher than 20%, and taking into consideration the effect of the holding group will be, in any case, in the area of 16%, because of the some effect, some adverse effect of the directive, European directive on banks. But anyway, very, very high level of in terms of solvency. This is just a snapshot, and I leave the floor to Mara Di Giorgio, head of investor relations, for some further comment.
Hi, good afternoon. I would like to start giving some details on the profit and loss account. So starting from slide number 4, okay, net banking income for the 9 months totaled 371 million euros, plus 56.2%, as compared to 238 million euros recorded last year. By segment, on the right side of the slide, by segment, the higher contribution came from the corporate banking, 29.3%, including in these numbers the reversal of the PPA. Corporate banking, as you know, it includes medium long-term finance, structured finance, workout and recovery. Net banking income of this segment achieved 109 million euros and includes 79 million euros of reversal of the PPA in the net banking income line. 30 million euro comes from the ordinary lending, starting to show the first signals of the refocus of the strategy already announced at the acquisition day. To go to the result for the segment to the net profit from financial activity, we have to discuss about provisions, which are including for this segment, 39 million euro positive amount coming from the debt collection and finalization of restructuring actions taken in the 9 months 2017 period. Those are the reasons really why we were able to achieve a net profit of financial activities in the segment equal to 147.7 million euros. Second area of contribution for the 9 months was the NPL area, which realized 108 million euros of net banking income at the end of September versus more or less the same amount previous year. We have to take into consideration immediately that last year in the 9 months we realized 27 million euro of capital gain coming from the sale of the portfolios, as you may know, that this year are not really comparable. This year we realized in the first 9 months the same amount as we have realized in the first 6 months, equal to 17 million euro. Like for like, the underlying growth for the business was 13.7%, so 13.7%. Trade receivables, net banking income, decreased by 4% to 97.6 million euros. Market remains very challenging in the sector due mainly to the interest rate environment and also to competitive pressure, which is aiming to finalize deals even in a not possible and not sustainable area of margins, which is not our case. And of course, this area is including, as compared to the previous year, the factoring consolidated from the Interbanca group, so mainly large clients, over 100 companies. 27.8% of derogated loans were in front of the public administration, as compared to the 72%, which is a private-to-private business. Provisions amounted to 14.2 million euros, leading to a cost of credit in the sector of 73 basis points versus 79 basis points the previous period. So we are constantly really trying to minimize the cost of credit. And as a consequence, net financial position, net result from the financial activity decreased by 3.5% to 83.4 million euros. As far as leasing is concerned, it realized 46 million euros thanks to the growth achieved either in terms of loans and in terms of market share. The reversal of the PPA in this business was equal to 7.9% at the level of net banking income. Tax receivables increased by 16.2% to 12 million euros, but then we will detail a little bit more. Going to slide five, insight of on trade receivables segment. Here, just I would like just to stop your attention, really, because number of clients increased by 6.2%, which and as you can remind, in the first 6 months, this number was plus 5%. So it means that in the last quarter, third quarter, we accelerated the increase in number of clients. First of all. Secondly, you can see that net banking income on loans is at the level of the 6 months results. So we are still in a very profitable area, 5.4%, 44%, which is over the strategic plan line that we issued at the moment of the presentation, which we said our target was between 4.5 and 5%, and we are over, constantly over, in terms of profitability of the business. And turnover is increasing in line with number of clients, so 6%, and we are at the level of 8 billion. So putting together these three numbers, we can say that The business dilemma, let's say, that even in the quarter was much more really sensible to the decisions, was to try to achieve or growth, or profitability, or cost of credit, let's say, or reduce cost of credit. We, as always, decided to support profitability and not growth at any cost, okay? And that's the reason why we were able to maintain profitability on one side, on the other to decrease cost of credit to 73 basis points instead of 78 basis points in the first 6 months. And we were able anyway to reduce total provisions. So looking at the details of the trade receivable segment, it's true that the net banking income and the total profit amount was down as compared 1 year ago, okay? But we can say that we are very satisfied from these numbers that are coming from, let's say, a competitive environment where other banks, traditional banks, are really fighting for cents, okay, of profitability lending money. Going to the slide on corporate banking segment, here I would like just to remind you again that this is we are calling corporate banking segment a segment where we are adding the results of the medium long-term finance, structured finance, and workout and recovery. We are lending, let's say, new money to the refocused companies, okay? New loans were over 300 million euros as we have already, let's say, displayed in the first 6 months. Total loans are over 1 billion. And we are really, having the positive effect more than anticipated at the time of the strategic plan, so more than expected, of the reversal of the PPA. That is something already seen in the first 6 months, but is continuing at this point to release additional benefit, let's say, to our profit and loss account, quarter on quarter, achieving the level in this segment of 79 million euros. That is making us releasing a positive cost of credit in the segment of 273 positive basis points, okay, maintaining an astonishing NPL on loans coverage of around 92%. Going to the leasing segment, here we are very proud, let's say, to announce that we are continuing to acquire market share. Total market share for in terms of volumes, okay, it's 3.6%, okay, with equipment growing by 58% in terms of market share, so reaching the level of 3.8%. The market grew during the first 9 months by 8.8%, and we realized, again, 58% plus. Transportation, we are, again, growing even here. The leasing for cars grew by 10% as compared to the market that is growing 8%, making us achieving a market share of 7.6%. Total market share for the leasing, again, is 3.6%. Loans increased by 7%. Number of clients are 71,658 economic operators. And again, cost of credit very, very small, 48 basis points. NPL area. So on the NPL area, again, what we need to immediately share is like-for-like of the underlying business and, gains coming from the sale of the portfolios. The third quarter, no additional gains coming from any sale of any portfolio. We are finalizing some small deals during these days, and some news will come in the market from this side. So that and looking at page number 9, the usual, let's say, representation, what I would like to mention here is that you may know that during the first 9 months we have bought around 4 billion euros of gross book value in terms of portfolios. And we have still 3.5, okay, again, gross portfolio in the area of historical cost, meaning that we are waiting for the onboarding, for being workable, let's say, this area. This, of course, means being at historical price that is not really releasing any interest as far as the, let's say, positive impact on the profit and loss account. And at the same time, same thing should be said for the amount of 2,091,000, which is legal recovery department, judicial ongoing workout, with a book value on NPL portfolio 12%, which again is a part of a portfolio that is at historical price for the legal, let's say, workout, which has not already, let's say, released the interest because it's not already in the order of assignment process. Summing up, these two areas at historical price, at the moment, due to the acceleration of the acquisition of portfolios during the 9 months, we have around 45% of our today gross book value portfolio that is not releasing interest. Of course, having accelerated on one side the buying of the portfolios, having had the, let's say, the total budget for the year, okay, as you remind, we were saying 4 billion for the, between 4 and 5 billion in the, for the entire year, but we have already reached the level of 4 billion for the 9 months. We need also to, let's say, accelerate the good, let's say, the quality and the workout either of the extrajudicial and judicial, let's say, process. Another thing that should be said here is that if you compare this slide with same slide 6 months data, you will see that the book value of the internal and external recovery department has decreased. This has to be linked to the fact that at the end of the first 6 months, we sold some portfolios, okay, that were also reperforming portfolios. And so the part missing in this line, it has to deal with the sale, let's say, that realized in terms of profit in the first 6 months, in terms of balance sheet in the first weeks of July. Next slide. Just to mention to you, let's say here we just summarize, let's say, the dynamics of the portfolio. So 12.5 billion gross book value, acquisitions around 4 billion, net book value portfolio 716 million euros. Now let's go to the tax receivables. Tax receivables, page 11. Here I would like to point out that during the quarter we have continued to buy, okay, tax receivables for a total amount of 8.3 million of tax receivables. Having the new portfolio acquisition during the first 9 months equal to 40.7 million. The cash in was very, very strong in the quarter, over 21 million euro, okay, just in the third quarter, reducing the net book value of the portfolio to 132 million euro at the end of September. As far as costs, I would say that here there are good news because the page 12 The cost income is lower than expected. All of you, I could assume that we're expecting a cost income growing, okay, over 50%. We were saying that by year end, this should be much more closer to 60% rather than 50%. Sorry, page 11. So I was saying that we were saying that according to the strategic plan, okay, by year end, the cost income should be closer to 60% rather than 50%. We are expecting some cost rising in the fourth quarter, but again, this ratio is better than expected. Just to share with you the let's say the area of the costs where it comes from. Okay, I should say that in terms of personnel, okay, from last year 42 million euros to 74 million euros, of which 23 are referred to G Capital Interbank legal entities, still legal entities. So I have to tell you that the IFIS factoring, of course, is not anymore possible showed as a different entity. And for the fourth quarter, we will not have any other possibility also as far as Interbanca SPA is concerned, because as you may know, we have already, merged Interbanca SPA in Banca IFIS SPA. But the increase of personnel has to be related mainly to the GE Capital Interbanca and anyway to over 100 people, new people hired from the beginning of the year at the group level. Okay. Then other expenses, 104 million euros compared to 70 million euros last year, of which 19 million euros refer to GE Capital Interbanca, the three legal entities. Here again we have to mention that the main part of the costs are rising from consultancy expenses, mainly for the adoption of the new core banking and the other related projects, IT projects. Then we have some collection costs in the range of 12 million euro for the 9 months. We have also a very a strong amount related to stamp duties of Rendimax, close to 9 million euros as compared to, for example, 4 previous year. IT operating expenses are, OPEX, are in the range of 7 million euros for the 9 months, plus other 2 million euros, around 2 million euros that are related to the TSA agreement with GE Capital that we are dismissing for the using of the IT platforms. Then we have some securitization costs for over 1.4 million euros and FIDT for the 9 months amounting to 3 million euros. These are the main costs. Tax rate was 27.4% as compared to previous year, 43%. Now I pass the floor to our CFO, Maria Cristina Taormina, for some comments on the balance sheet.
Good evening to everybody. Going to the slide 12, you can see the total asset that amount for the third quarter of 2017 at 9.4 billion. This total asset is composed for 5.9 million of loans to customer, of which the amount is aligned to the previous year. The loans to customer are for the 80% more or less related to private exposure, for the main part to public administration exposure. In terms of segment reporting, the loans to customer are for 46%, 2.7 billion related to trade receivable, 1 million 17% of corporate banking, 1.3 billion of leasing, 750 billion of NPL area and 132 billion of tax receivable. The main part is related to governance services for some residual amount. Compared with the previous year, the composition of the loans to customers is aligned with the end 2016. For that concern, the financial investment, we have at 30 September 2017 exposure for a total amount of 516 million, composed for the main part of Italian bonds government and Italian government bond. The amount is grew up in respect to the final year 2016 for some investment that we performed during the year to invest the excess of liquidity. The due from banks, you can see, is around 2 billion compared with the previous year, 1.3 billion. This is the result of the liquidity that we have in excess in respect to the loans. The other asset amount at more or less 1 billion, of which 500 million are related to fiscal asset, current asset for 80 million and DTA for 43 million. This amount is in reduction with reference to the previous year, starting from the reversal at profit and loss. For that concern, the asset quality, the net loans customer amount, as we can see at the slide 12, at 5.9 million of euro. Of these, 1.1 billion are related to non-performing asset and 4.8 billion are related to performing asset. If we carve out the non-performing loans related to NPL area, the amount of non-performing of impaired loans is more or less 400 million, which represent the 7% of the net loans to customer, aligned with the same results at the previous years. For that concern, the composition of the impaired loans for segment at the slide 13, you can see the trade receivable, which show a growth only in the category of the past due exposure, consistent with the characteristic of the business with public administration that, as you know, usually show on delay in the repayment of the exposure. For that concern, the coverage of NPL are aligned with the previous year, 8.5%, and the same for the coverage of the past due. We show a growth in the coverage of the unlikely to pay from 33.5% to 37.2%. For that concern, the leasing, the exposure of bad loan show an increase from the previous year, mainly due to the application of the specific classification rules at level group to a specific portfolio in runoff acquired in the business combination. The corporate banking show impaired loans in growth compared with the previous year, mainly due to some write-down on specific exposure. For this reason, the coverage on NPL on bad loans decreased from 94% at 92% around of this third quarter 2017, and remains stable the coverage on the unlikely to pay. If you go to the slide 14, you can see that the total coverage of the SME lending for the NPL is 89% above the market average for comparable asset. Going to the balance sheet at slide 15 for that concern the funding structure. Total funding at third quarter of 2017 amount at 7.5 billion euro, with an increase of 7% with the previous year. The composition of the funding is for 68% funding retail, aligned with the previous year and above the market average that is more or less for comparable at 53%. The main part of the funding is represented for 1 billion, less than 1 billion from due to banks, including 700 million of TLTRO, and for 1.2 billion from debt security. The debt security includes 838 million of securitization notes and 385 million of senior bond. This senior bond, this amount includes the senior bond issued by Banca Ifis at May 2017 for a total amount of 300 million. And for the remaining part, a bond issued in the past from Interbanca. With reference to the previous year, this amount of debt security is decreased of around 17% due to the reacquired by Banca Ifis of the notes issued in the securitization bonds, loans and leasing issued relating to the acquisition of Interbanca Group. At the last slide, 16, we show the amount and the movement in our equity. The net equity show an amount of 1.3 billion at the end of third quarter 2017, and this achieve a total unfunded capital ratio of 71.4% compared with 15.7% at the end of the previous year. If we look at the same data, including the holding, La Scogliera, the 2017 total unfunded capital ratio is set up at 16.5%, and for 2016 is set up at 15.4%.
Giovanni Boss again, just for some two final points that I think it is better to let you know. One is related again on what we are doing and what we did in the last weeks is to stress the reduction of the cost of funding. In particular, you, as you know, probably the most part of our funding is retail funding due to RendiMax and ContoMax online deposit account and current account. Well, we reduced the retail funding cost using both the cut yields granted to clients and the reduction of the cut again of the stamp duty that till 2017 Banca Ifis is paid for the customers, and this will not be anymore in place for 2018. The reduction of the retail funding cost is part of a strategy in which, after the completion of the Interbanca deal, we started an action with the target of reduce the cost of funding. This action is still in place. So we think that we will see during 2018 the result of this strategy, not only on the retail funding side, but also on the wholesale funding side. The second point, but I understood that Mara put some evidence on this fact, is that, as promised, we complete the merger of Interbanca into Banca Ifis at the end of October 2017. So Interbanca is anymore a bank, a standalone bank. So it is not more present on the market. It is a promise we did 1 year ago when at the acquisition time of the group, Interbanca Group, and to be clear, we closed all this stuff even in advance in respect of our expectation. So everything fine on this on this side.
Okay, Sherry, I would like to open the Q&A section.
Thank you, madam. Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Christian Carese of Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good evening. A few questions on my side. The first one is on the corporate banking division. Looking at the evolution of the net banking income in the last three quarters, I see a positive evolution net of the reversal of PPA from less than 1 million in the first quarter to less than 5 million euro in the second quarter, and then a quite big jump in the third quarter at almost 25 million euros. I was wondering if you can give some details on the reason of this evolution, if there is any capital gain or on the division. As far as the leasing, it's a steady growth and seems to be good, positive. While on the area NPL, I see a decrease in the quarter in terms of net banking income from 48 million to 29 million euros. Just a clarification on this point. You said that you sold some portfolio at the end of the second quarter, and the capital gain was booked in the second quarter, while in terms of balance sheet we saw the result in the third quarter. Is it correct? And if you can elaborate on the capital gain you booked in the second quarter from those portfolio. The first question is on PPA and write-backs. According to my calculation, you almost reached 87 million euro PPA in the first 9 months. Let me see if it's correct. Yes, 86.9 million euro in the first 9 months. Your guidance, if I'm not mistaken, it was 80 million euro for the full year. So what should we expect in the fourth quarter in terms of reversal of the PPA? And on the write-backs, the zero loan loss provisions booked in the quarter were related to the corporate banking, or if you can elaborate on that, what should we expect for the fourth quarter? And finally, the last question is on a more strategic. I mean, your thoughts on what the CEO of Intesa Sanpaolo said during the conference call. It opened to the possibility the capitalized bank could be open to third party as a servicer for other companies. Do you think that the Intesa Sanpaolo could be a risk for your business on the NPL? Thank you.
Christian, one by one, we will try to answer all of those. Okay, so as far as NPL, the 17 million euro in the first 6 months, we, as we said, at the end of June, so the 30th of June, we had now on our tables everything, let's say, for recording the capital gain related to the sale of the portfolio. But from the balance sheet point of view, the deduction of the NPL assets was not done because the contract was not finalized completely. Okay, so that's the reason why, under let's say the accounting principles, we could record the capital gain in the second quarter, but not to reduce the assets involved in terms of NPL. So this is right what you said. from the NPL in the NPL business, the economic let's say effects of the sale of the portfolio were in the second quarter. The assets and the in the ratios, let's say assets balance sheet based, you see that those on the third quarter results. Okay.
And how much was the capital gain out of 48 million euro net
and
banking income?
This is something that we are not disclosing on the single deal, as always.
Okay.
So that, in terms of PPA, your calculation of 87 million euro is correct in the net banking income line. So the effect is 87 million euro, and it's over than expected. So this refers to what at the beginning Mr. Bossi was saying, underline general trends of the 9 months and quarters, saying that some effects were stronger than expected, some other were unusual, let's say. So, or different, as you said. 87 is over than expected. You should expect over 100 million euro for the total 2017 year. Of course, this means that the total effect is not changing for the total value of the reversal of the expected effect of the reversal of the PPA during the is not changing in total amount, but it changes in terms of time length.
So can you remind us the total amount embedded in the business plan?
423 million euro. Okay.
It was within.
We were expecting, let's say, a possible effect calculated, by, that was ending with a minimal impact at the last year 2025. You should reduce. We should reduce the time during which this effect could be, let's say, shared during the looking forward. So probably by 2 or 3 years, because
okay.
It's faster than expected at the time of the, let's say, forecasting.
It was something, if I remember properly, 120 million euro PPA from 2020 to 2025. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So for a second question and third question is done. The first one was on corporate banking. Corporate banking, it released some good results in the third quarter, not only linked, as you said, to the reverse of the PPA, but also to the, let's say, release of provisions. Okay, due to the close out of some significant positions, okay, that we had completely provisioned.
This is at provision level.
Yes, you're right.
But on the net banking income, I see a quite important jump in the third quarter.
So in the third quarter, we have 43.6 million euro of net banking income, okay, of which something like close to 25, okay, are in the reversal of the PPA, and then. Okay, in the third quarter you have 13 million euro of dividends and negotiation activities.
It's not a dividend and negotiation. Let's say it's directly classified as a dividend
yeah.
negotiation activities to be the what is real here is that we close a position with we release a position of equity derivatives. That a third party close with us with a transaction that we close in July. Christina, correct, right? Isn't it? Is it equity derivatives that we close in July? the what was below the what was what the, what this was an old litigation and the old equity shares that has been transformed into derivative share derivative equity derivatives during 2016.
So which shares were? So were related to?
I prefer not to disclose at all the name of the shares, but it was a very old shareholding of the Interbanca Group, even before the GE Capital Management, so very old.
Ah, okay, okay.
So it's the closing of an old position, okay?
Okay, so it should be a one-off.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. If you carve out also this one-off, the figure is still growing,
yeah,
but completely different.
So net, you said 11 million?
Oh, well, you have to carve out 50, yes.
13, so it would be 11 million euro net of the one-off.
Oh, yes.
Net of PPI one, okay.
Strategic, Mr. Bossi.
As regards the strategic, the strategic point of the hypothesis that you put on the table, that has been you named the idea because the capital light that can be open to third parties contribution. Well, I don't foresee any risk to us arising from this kind of hypothesis, because the sectors in which we are involved are so different that I cannot foresee any overlap between their activity and our activity. To be honest, we are today on different sides on the table, and I cannot foresee that any action of any strategic move of Capital Light Bank could change the side of the table on which we are seated. So I think that this could change some dimension, if this happened, could change some dimension in the activities of the colleagues, but I cannot foresee any material effects on our business. Our business could be affected but this is something that you know very well, from the increase of the increase in the competition on one side, and on the other side from the improvement of the economical environment that could theoretically reduce the margins, the second could theoretically increase the margins. So these are strategic issues that we are addressing with a particular attention. The position of Capital Light Bank to us it seems to me, is not relevant.
Okay, just a final question. So there is no seasonality on the NPL area, so the first quarter was weaker compared to the second quarter, but was due to maybe the capital gain you booked in the second quarter.
Goes without saying that if and when we have a sale or a higher level of releases of portfolios that we declare workable, a higher level of portfolios, this has a material impact on the profitability of the quarter.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giuseppe Mapelli of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening. I have only one question. I would like to know if you can update us on your consideration on the potential consequences on the calendar provisioning foreseen by the ECB. If you can, elaborate a little bit more after the conference call we had 1 month ago. Thank you.
Well, you remember the conference call we did some weeks ago. Our position as regards the ECB addendum, and I am not speaking now on the speculation that we see on the market, on the newspapers, and on the market, as regards the who has the power to establish a rule like this. You know, there are some positions that are saying that the ECB hasn't this kind of power. But anyway, this is not my point. This is not our point. Our point was, and today is, with an even higher level of confidence, our activity in the NPL field is an activity in which we buy financial assets that are deteriorated loans. If there is one single reason that could allow the ECB and the Italian and the Bank of Italy, of course, to accept an explanation, you know that the concept is comply or explain, comply to the rule or explain why you not apply the rule. If there is one good reason not to comply, this is the best reason possible to explain why we will not adopt the position of the ECB. Furthermore, there are many layers of position we could take before. One is that we are not under the control of the ECB, but of Bank of Italy, and the addendum of the ECB so far is only referred to the ECB relevant banks. Then the concept is that the new rules will apply only to the deteriorated assets that has been classified as deteriorated before, after the 1st of January 2018. And I could say that we, for some years, it is not reasonable for us to buy this kind of assets. So there are many, many layers that represent defense for us against this kind of addendum. And I think that as far as Banca IFIS is concerned, we will never apply this. This addendum will never impact our business model.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luigi Tramontana of Banca Akros. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening. Still some questions on my side. First, regarding the trade receivables, Q3 was really very, very weak. The NII was down around 30% year-on-year. So we'd like to know if there is any particular element there, any one-off maybe that impacted the results in Q3, or what are you seeing in the market? Where is the pressure mounting in terms of margins? And what should we expect in Q4? There will be a reversal of this trend, or the pressure will go on and we have to revise our expectations on this activity. Second question is on the NPL area. You did not publish this quarter a very useful table showing the evolution of your portfolio. So we'd like to know if you can please give us the purchases you made in the quarter in terms of net value, the sales, if any, and the collections that you made, given that you have a 20% target in your plan, and at the end of the first half you stood at 17%. In terms of capital, I was positively surprised by the level of capital you reached in Q3. Very strong increase compared to the previous quarter. So once again, is there any particular element there? Any revision?
Ricky, sorry, we didn't understood what you said as third quarter. Can you repeat that, please?
Yes, sure. Regarding the capital position, your common equity significantly improved in the last quarter compared to Q2. It was a very positive surprise, and would like to know if there is any particular element explaining this jump, any one-off or any revision in your models for the risk weighting, anything else. Finally, a question on consolidation. There were some rumors that you were studying the acquisition of Farbanca. Can you confirm these rumors and regarding the eventual acquisition price? Farbanca has a book value of around 60 million, so relatively small compared to your size. Would like to know if you expect to do another bargain purchase, like in the case of Interbanca, or if the price would be closer to the book value of Farbanca. Thank you.
So, number of questions. So, as far as trade receivables, I think I try to explain what in the first quarter, not only in the first quarter, but mainly in the first quarter happens. So we had to decide in front of possible deals, okay, if we would like to increase the risk of the operations, okay, or we could, let's say, reduce the profitability of the segment in favor of a possible growth achieved at any cost at this point. The answer of the business leader was no, because all our decisions, I remind you, is based on three pillars. One is liquidity, which is not any time at this point an issue. One is capital absorption, and that is not a possible, let's say, issue any time at all. And the third is profitability. So according to the three pillars of our mission, okay, we decided to go for profitability of the operations, maintaining and even increasing by 1 cent, let's say 1 basis point, the 9 months profitability. If you see 6 months and 9 months, we have increased just by 1 basis point. So we went for operations that were just in line with the expected profitability of the business according to the forecast that we made at the beginning of the year. Okay, first quarter was at the level of the result of the financial activity down by 17%. Okay, I would like just to remind you that last year, as far as the pharma business is concerned, and as we stated last year, there were some, let's say, one-off as far as the pharma, third quarter 2016, okay? And this, of course, has an impact on the total results in terms of comparison. Okay, trade receivables done. As far as the MPLs, the question was, related to the fact that, can you remind me?
Yes, usually you publish every quarter a table that resumes the evolution of your net portfolio.
Yeah.
You did not publish this table this quarter, so we'd like to know if you can please give us the purchases you made in terms of net value and the collections you made.
Okay. We published, let's say, in slide page 8, in a way, okay, and 9. You can have the same numbers. Of course, if you make the difference, I said that the new portfolio acquisition is 4 billion for the 9 months. Okay, for the 6 months, that was 2.8.
Yes, but this is the gross value. What is the net value?
The difference between the 716 and 701, because no sale of portfolios, as said, was done during the third quarter.
Okay, and what was the amount of the collections?
The amount of the collections is everything written in the financial report already published. So we had, in terms of collection rate, we are still in the range between 15% and 20%. Okay, with a different dynamics for the dynamics for the quarter, and everything is in all details, let's say, are in the report already available on the website.
Okay, on capital.
On capital position,
there are no particular issue that affects the capital position at the end of Q3, take into consideration that the bond has been issued in October, so you will see the effect that I cited before only at the end of this year, in the annual report. So the third quarter is not affected by the lower Tier 2 bond issue. The only one point that I like to stress is that we have more or less 2% of effect on the third quarter result. 2% of a reduction is due to the to tax assets. So we have today a level of tax assets that is higher than the maximum level that you can have in the assets without impact as regards regulatory assets aspects. So this amount, we are monitoring the effect, this effect, and we think that in a couple of years this effect will become not material, but so far this drag down, even if the level is good, this effect is dragged down the level more or less 2%. So in some years we'll increase further this level because also for this tax effect. Farbanca, I could say only one thing, and a process is in place. We are part of the process, and as the newspaper wrote, and that's all. For the moment, I think for my side, no other. Comments on this point, but we are part of the process. That's all, I think.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
And the next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good evening. Three questions from my side. The first one relates to what said by the colleagues, the colleague before, so about the bridge that was usually given on the net book value of the NPL portfolio. That was very useful because it included how much of the book value had been purchased and how much of the book value came from an increase thanks to the collection process and the level of collection. So if you decide to not to give any longer this table, or what is your position on this? Second question, on the PPA, in the previous quarter there was also a smaller impact in the line of provision. So if there is this impact also this quarter, and the last one, more important, in the light of the very very strong capital position that you have, if you have in mind to make any kind of change in your dividend policy. Thank you.
So as far as the table that you refer to, we are revising the by year end what the kind of information that we will give for the NPL area, trying to have let's say a much more comparable, if you want, and transparent information, or let's say understandable as information, okay, more than transparent, understandable information for the market. As far as this quarter, we have decided to take out that because not having there any sale for any portfolio, okay, it could be very easily, the information could be very easily find out, thanks to the kind of, numbers that we give anyway in the explanations in the segment. Okay, and this is as far as the table. As far as the small amount of, unfunded commitments that you are referring to, so below net banking income, in the 9 months we have 7 million euros. Okay, and as far as capital ratios.
Yes, the gross capital ratio, yeah, with the dividend policy, to be more correct. Well, the strong position in terms of capital ratio pushes us to realize a good deal and to increase our dimension with organic growth. And this is the first commitment we have. So far, that we are used to deliver to the market a return on equity that is significant, and the idea is to continue in this direction. The point is that we have no intention so far to. The board of directors had declared nothing about the dividend policy so far. I do not think that we collect money on the bond, subordinated bond market, for the purpose to increase more dividends. This is not the rationale we put in place when we decided to collect the lower Tier 2 bond. So the position is good. The dividend policy so far is not an issue.
Mr. Bossi, at this time there are no questions registered, sir.
Okay, so thank you very much indeed to everyone for participating to this conference call and for the interest shown, giving us the possibility to answer to your questions.
Thank you to everybody.
Thank you. Bye.